Good morning, everybody. This morning, the Lord has laid on my heart that we need to confess His word. And so He was telling me that we have a case of stolen identity. And I thought how funny that was, because we were entering in a lot of the orders from the Live to Lead simulcast that we had on Friday last night. And it was going into the wee hours of the morning because there were different challenges and things. It was just the enemy trying to cause distraction, as he did all of the last week and every minute during and after. But I can tell you, we've just had a transformational event. And as we were putting in the order forms last night, they put a block on my card, on my debit card, and they thought it was maybe a case of stolen identity. And I just kind of laughed because I thought, oh, God, you're so funny how he confirms his messages to us if we are willing to be looking and seeking him and be listening and looking with his eyes and his ears. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I love you and I thank you. I pray that you would just speak through my mouth of clay today, that it would just bless your people immeasurably. Lord, we expect that today we walk away from this call to start a new week with a new passion for you, that we will not leave this call the same as we came. Lord, I just thank you for Rebecca, Lord, and her positivity, that she's so excited. She said that you're working in her life. So first off, Lord, I'm going to praise you for that. And Lord, I just pray that you will help us to keep our eyes focused on you and help us to hear what you would have us to hear this morning and see what you would have us to see. Lord, we just bind any confusion or distraction right now in Jesus' name as we move forward. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to minister to your people. We love you and thank you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking about a couple of things. And first off, I was thinking about, you know, in order to have our identity stolen, we have to have an identity, right? And when we have an identity, a lot of times it's because someone has put a label on us. And sometimes our identity could also be placed on us by who we think we are, by what we think we're doing. What do I mean by that? Many people kind of struggle with identity challenges when they don't get a promotion at work, or they don't get, or they do get a promotion at work and they get a new title, and we kind of think that our work defines us, or the lack of it defines us. And our labels can define us either positively or negatively. Another way that we can be defined is by the world defining us, who they think we are. They look at us and they tell us who we are, and that we need to get pigeonholed into a specific area, right? What about how we view ourselves? Instead, what we need to be doing is looking at the Word of God, and we need to see what the Word says about us, because we know the Word of God is unchangeable and it is 100% truth, and we need to choose it instead. When's the last time, and I know some of you have been on my calls for quite some time now, so it probably might even be very recently that you've told yourself this, but how many times have you looked in the mirror and said, I'm significant because of my position as a child of God? You're significant. You know, one of the things that we heard during the simulcast this weekend was how important it is to live intentionally. And if, also, if you've known me very long, you know I've been intentional as long as I can remember. I don't ever remember not being intentional. My mom said at 2 and 3 years old, I would be very intentional to make sure that even the throw rugs were not messed up in the hallways. And I would go out if I saw a little speck of dust or crumb on them, I would have to scoop them up and take them outside and shake them, and they were bigger than me, and she said, you'd be out there shaking the rugs and making sure that everything was in its place, and that I would be very intentional about everything I said and everything I did. And one of the things that John mentioned as he was talking about living in an intentional life is that we all have a story of significance, and we enhance that, we live into it when we live intentionally according to the call of God on our life. And why is that so important? Because for me, I see that that's why the enemy tries so hard to take our identity. He doesn't want us to know who we are in Christ, because that also disrobes him and takes away all of his authority that he tries to dupe us with his untruths. One of the things that I love to do is I love to confess scripture, because I know that that's how Jesus battled the enemy when he was in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. And that's how he won the battle against the enemy. And many of the times, I love to use I am. And because it reminds me that the great I am is inside of me. And so I just want to give you a few things of scripture that can maybe give you back your true identity, or maybe give you a glimpse of who you truly are in Christ. Because we know John 1:12 tells us that God gave us the right to become a child of God, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again because it was God that was giving us the right to become a child of his. How exciting is that? That, like, you could have anybody pick to adopt you. We also had dinner. This is amazing. I'm just now seeing the Lord piece some things together from last week. We also had a friend come down from Michigan, a high school friend that we went to school with. They were here in San Antonio, and I had the opportunity to see her. Haven't seen her probably 30 years. I mean, it's been a long time. Maybe not quite that long, 25, probably at least 25. And how interesting it was to see her and meet her daughter. And we always knew that she was adopted, but she said she had met her birth mother, and it made sense to her, but that she was still so thankful that she had her adopted parents. And she said that her adopted parents were concerned that she might not want to spend holidays with them if she knew her birth parents. And she said no, because she knew that the family that had adopted her had chosen her, that she would never not be with them. And I think this is amazing, because God chose us, and he, from the very foundations of the earth, said, I'm going to make a way so I can adopt you back into my family, and you can be my chosen. And in 1 John 3:2-3, he says, you know, that he wants us to keep an eager expectation, and that God's love overrules our unloveliness. I don't know about you, but God's love is so much greater than my unloveliness. And I've got a lot of unloveliness in my life. I try to live the best life I can, but you know what? I fall short. I'll be honest with you. I don't know if you ever had that happen in your life where you're trying to live a good Christian life, but every once in a while you're tempted by sin, or even fall into its snare. But we've been given a new identity and a new name when we're adopted as a child of God. You know, Romans 8:16-17 tells us that we're an heir of God, that God's glory we can be heirs with. Now, he also mentions, and this is the other part, everybody likes to just read the first half of the verse, but it also says that we'll have to share in his suffering as well. So just know that it's not going to always be easy, but it's easier with Christ, and we have hope, and we know the end, right? But I want you to see yourself as a believer, as a child of God. And I want you to act like a child of God, because in Colossians 1:27, it tells us that we have to see ourselves as a believer, as a child of God, in order to act like a child of God. Do you realize that you're not saved, though, by how you behave, but by what you believe? So we've got to get the Word of God deep in our hearts. I know that's why he tells us to meditate on it, almost like chewing of cud like a cow, where you chew it and chew it and chew on it, because he wants it so deep inside of us that it becomes our belief. God loves us and he chose us. And once we believe what it tells us in the Word, our old labels are going to fall off and they're not going to mean anything. God loves you. He relishes you. He sings songs over you. But he also wants you to know who you are and who your identity is in him. So I've got several verses. I'm going to just, if you can't catch all of the words, just go ahead and write down the scripture references, and you can go back and look them up on your own. But the Word of God says in Jesus Christ that I am faithful. And if he says, I'm faithful, I want you to say, I am faithful, just like he says. And that's Ephesians 1:1. He says, I'm a child of God. John 1:12, I've been justified. Romans 5:1, I am Christ's friend. John 15:15, I belong to God. 1 Corinthians 6:20, I'm a member of Christ's body. 1 Corinthians 12:27, I'm assured that all things work together for good for those that love him and have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. Trust me, you wouldn't be on the call this morning if you weren't. I've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22. I'm confident that God will perfect the work he's begun in me. Philippians 1:6. I'm a citizen of heaven. Philippians 3:20. I'm hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline, 2 Timothy 1:7. So if you're one of the people that's struggling to stay on task as an entrepreneur, that you're struggling in any capacity, look and see, are you standing in a spirit of fear instead of faith? Are you walking in his power and his love in all situations? Are you self-disciplined? If not, confess 2 Timothy 1:7. 1 John 5:18 tells us, I'm born of God and the evil one cannot touch me. And I am blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, Ephesians 1:3. We know that we live on multiple planes, that we are a spirit being living in this world in our fleshly meat suits, and we also have a soul. So to me, that's pretty exciting that I'm blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. It tells us in Ephesians 1:4 and 11 that I'm chosen before the creation of the world. I'm holy and blameless, Ephesians 1:4. Ephesians 1:5 tells me I'm adopted as his child. Ephesians 1:5 and 8 says I'm given God's glorious grace lavishly without restriction. I love that. It says in Ephesians 1:7 and in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that I'm in him. Ephesians 1:8 says I have redemption. I am forgiven. I have purpose, according to Ephesians 1:9. I have hope, Ephesians 1:12. I'm included, Ephesians 1:13. For those of you who feel like you're always left out, grab that scripture. I'm included, Ephesians 1:13. The Lord says I am. And honestly, wouldn't you rather be included in what God's doing than what we're trying to make happen? Oh my goodness, I would. I'm sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. I am salt and light to the earth, Matthew 5:13. I've been chosen, and God desires to bear fruit in and through me, John 15:1 and 5, and Ephesians 3:20. I'm God's co-worker, 2 Corinthians 6:1. I'm a minister of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. I'm alive with Christ, Ephesians 2:5. I'm God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. I have peace, Ephesians 2:14. I'm a member of God's household, Ephesians 2:19. I'm secure, Ephesians 2:20. For those of you that have scarcity mindset, or the enemy's been chattering in your ear about scarcity or insecurity, just claim that verse, Ephesians 2:20. I'm secure. I'm a holy temple, Ephesians 2:21. And 22, I'm a dwelling place for the Holy Spirit. I share in the promise of Christ Jesus, Ephesians 3:6. Ephesians 3:7, God's power is working through me. I mean, there's so many verses. Colossians 2:7, I am growing. I'm his disciple, John 13:15. I'm dead to sin, Romans 1:12. If you've got a sin that keeps coming and nagging you and bugging you over and over again, just say, you know what, I'm dead to sin, Romans 1:12. If you're lonely, Hebrews 13:5 says, I am not alone. If you're concerned about your life, look at John 10:10. I'm promised a full life, and I will prosper as my soul prospers. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions. 1 John 5:4 says, I am victorious. Romans 8:37 says, I am more than a conqueror. I am the righteousness of God, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm healed from sin, 1 Peter 2:24. If you feel helpless, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I am not helpless. If you're having the enemy whisper in your ear that you are not a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we are a new creation. The word goes on and on, telling us about our identity in Christ. The enemy's job is to cause distraction. It tells us in the word that what does he do? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to take your identity, but he can't unless you give it to him. We know that we have to know who we are in Christ, and the more we speak the word into our life and over our life, and over the lives of others, the more we will see a change. I just wanted to tell you about a couple of resources I have on my website. One is a free resource if you go to BeckySpieth.com, BeckySpieth.com. Go to the free tab on the right-hand side. There'll be a pull-down. Go to digital downloads. And the very first one gives a ton of scripture that you can confess over yourself. It deals with scriptures for healing. So if you're not well or you've got someone else that you're praying for, you can speak this word over them for healing. But it also has many other things, like Luke 6:38. It says, I have an abundant supply. Psalm 5:12, I walk in God's favor today in all my business dealings and with all people. God's favor rests upon me. Look up these scriptures. Look this up and then speak this with your mouth. You know, Jesus didn't just think when he was being tested and the enemy was trying to steal his identity in the wilderness. He spoke it out loud right to the enemy. And I want you to do the same thing. It also goes down and talks about, you know, when I think, you know, and these are just lies from the enemy. When we think it's impossible, then it says God's word says all things are possible, Luke 8:27. So you've got verses that you can combat some of this negative chatter that happens in your mind. Well, I was excited last night that my identity wasn't stolen, that it was just us entering in all of those orders. And I hope that you've never experience identity theft, whether it's over your spiritual identity or who it tells us in the word you are in Christ. I want you to know you're significant. I want you to live out your significant story intentionally, and I hope that these scriptures help support you. There's also other free resources on that same tab. There's a prayer for forgiveness. There's a prayer for over your finances. Feel free to share those as well. We also post all of the Bible studies and prayer calls on the website as well, and they're arranged by title and date. But I love you guys, and I'm so honored that you would spend this morning with us. I do want to go to the Lord in prayer and bless your week. Father God, we come before you, and we thank you that we can know who we are in Christ. Lord, we know it has nothing to do with who we are and what we do. It's not how we behave, but it's how we believe. And Lord, we come boldly in faith, asking and surrendering ourselves to you, and then also asking these petitions and asking for these things, Lord. Help us to be obedient. Help us to see you working in and through our lives. Help us to praise you and worship you, because we know that many times we feel like we're in the thick of the battle, but as we look in your word at the Old Testament, you always said the prayers through the priests and also the worship team out before the soldiers. And to me, that's amazing, because it tells us that we need to be praying and worshiping always, continually, but especially at the forefront of the battle. Lord, I pray for Bob's grandchildren. Lord, what a blessing. You tell us that they are an inheritance from you. So, Lord, I pray you would help them to be able to speak into their lives, that they would be serving you with their whole hearts, and that they would have Christian mates as well. We know it's never too early to pray for those, Lord. And we just pray for all of us that have children or grandchildren that are still seeking mates, Lord, that you would just provide the Christian mates for them and godly homes would be established. Lord, I just praise you that you're moving in Rebecca's life. We just glorify you for that. And we praise you for having this reconciliation, this tender time between Gloriella and her teammate, Lord, that their hearts are turned to each other. We're just praising you for that. Lord, I do pray that she will have an increase of sales. So I ask that you would give her your divine wisdom and inspiration as to how to go about getting and gathering those sales. Give her boldness and spirit and favor to go out before her as she talks to others. Lord, we come for you, especially for John. Lord, he's got lung cancer, and you know that. I pray that you would give him comfort. Holy Spirit, that you would take your breath of life and you would breathe into him. Lord, I pray for a miracle. We know that with you all things are possible. Lord, I ask right now that you would remove any doubt in any of us that are on this call or listening to my voice or in John's life or in anyone that is around him, because we know that you tell us in your word that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. So you are strengthening him. But you also tell us that faith without works is dead, and Lord, so that we need to have unwavering faith. You also tell us that in your word. So, Lord, you tell us to not have any doubt. So anyone that is a naysayer or a doubt, I ask that you put a guard before their mouth that they may not speak it over him and that you would remove it from their thoughts. Lord, we believe for healing now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray for Lisa and her daughters. Lord, I pray for strength in this situation. Lord, my heart just believes in that there's so much more going on here. I pray that truth would come out, that you would protect them, and that you would lavish your love over them. You tell us in your word that you would touch every tear. And Father God, I just pray right now that you would protect them, protect their minds, their will, their emotions, their physical body. Lord, help them to know you and be drawn closer to you during this time, that you would lavish your love over them, that they would feel your songs being sung over them, and they would feel your embrace. I also pray that you would send godly men and women to minister to them in this time of need in their life, Lord, and that all wisdom and truth would prevail. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each person that's listening to my voice, that you would bless them when they're going in, when they're going out, when they're in the marketplace, and when they're in their quiet place. Lord, I pray that you will just bless them financially, that you will bless them with spiritual maturity and growth, and Lord, that they would just have a closer relationship to you and be overflowing, sharing the gospel everywhere that they go. Lord, we love you and thank you. We ask you all of this and believe for an incredible week. In Jesus' name, amen. Have an incredible week, everybody, and we'll be back together again next Monday at 8:30 Central to start our prayer time and Bible study time together. But if you want to get in on the prayer request, dial in at 8:25 Central in the morning, and I'd be happy to take your prayer request and keep it before me all week long. But God bless you. Take care, and have an incredible week. Bye, everybody.